Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He was played Major League Baseball for the Marlins, played in the NFL with Seattle and Oakland, and of course the Browns. And he's with us now, Josh Booty. Josh, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, man, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Yeah. You know, when you see like what Kyler Murray's doing now here, you know, right? He had been a top 10. I mean, you were a first-round pick in baseball, and you see this guy's going to be a first-round pick probably in baseball and football. How amazing is that?
Pretty doggone good, man. This guy's a phenomenal athlete. I was actually at his first high school football game that he ever played in Allen, Texas, in the Metroplex in the Dallas area. And he came in. My cousin was playing linebacker for South Lake Carroll, the team across town. And they inserted Kyler Murray because Allen was down 7-0 early, I think, in the second quarter. And this kid come trotting out on the field, and he was, you know, so small at that. You know, he's still a small kid for that position. But to be, you know, he's probably 5'7", 135, 145 pounds as a sophomore in high school. And he came out there and just did some unreal things. He looked like, you know, a little – you know, slot receiver, but at the same time, he was throwing balls on time. He was throwing fade routes. He was throwing slants. He was throwing quick game stuff, and he was running, and no one could catch him. He was so elusive. So, you know, I saw some unbelievable things, as, you know, even at a young age. He never lost a high school game, and then he carried that thing on, parlayed it. You know, I just think he's a phenomenal athlete, and I watched his pro day. I was pretty impressed as well at how he threw the ball and looked like he was – you know, he's gained a little size and strength, and he just looks good.
Do you think he made the right decision to go to football before baseball?
Well, I think financially in his situation, it's unique. It's much different than what I would normally tell kids or what people have always told these kids is, hey, baseball is the money sport, the longevity sport. But if you look at his situation, I mean, he's going to be a top 15 pick, maybe the first pick overall, maybe the sixth pick, maybe the 12th pick. I mean, there's a few situations there early on in the top half of the draft that he could very well go. And it's like you're going to make 20, 30, 40, 50 million, you know, in your first contract. If he goes the baseball route to get to $40 million or $30 million, he's going to have to play into that contract. It's going to have to be – once he gets to the big leagues, and that's in 3 or 4 years. So if you want the money now, if you want to be in the big leagues now, it's the NFL, you know, and that's the quick ticket to make some really good money now. I know his family's a football family. His dad's a football guy. I mean, Kyler's a football player. He's a tremendous athlete that allows him to play center field, that allows him to hit for average, and he can run, steal bases, but man, he's a football player. He wouldn't have gone through all this stuff and gone back and played at Oklahoma after being drafted 9th overall by the A's last year if it wasn't for his love for football.
We're talking with former baseball and football player Josh Booty. Josh, your story is really fascinating for those who may not know. Like, you went from high school for, as I mentioned, first round pick of the Marlins. Mm-hmm. You start your minor league career in a town I know well, Elmira, New York, right? New York Penn League.
That's right.
I've called some games there in my past days. And then, you know, you're in the minors, you get to the big leagues, you decide you're going to play football, you go play at LSU, you get drafted 6th round NFL, you play for a while there, and then you played for the Browns, obviously, and then you try to come back to baseball as a knuckleball pitcher in 2013. I mean, what a crazy, wild ride. Take us through some of the decisions along the way. I'm fascinated by that.
Sure. I'll try to make a real long story short. But, you know, out of high school, I signed to play shortstop and quarterback for LSU, and I'm a Louisiana boy.
Right.
And so I thought I was going to go play for, you know, Skip Bertman, who's a famous baseball coach in the South at LSU, won multiple national championships. And I really grew up, you know, loving baseball and wanting to play for Skip Bertman. And they had just come off a national championship year my senior year of high school. And So I committed to play for them when you probably could have gone anywhere in the country. I took my visits football and baseball wise, but LSU seemed to be the perfect fit because they were a national championship caliber baseball team. And I'd kind of played myself into a unique position, kind of like Kyler Murray on the football field. We racked up a ton of yards, broke national records in that in high school for on the football side. So I'd garnered a lot of national attention there as well, and was kind of riding pretty high at that point, trying to figure out where I wanted to go to school. But LSU was the perfect fit. But then after my spring baseball season, my senior year, the Marlins, Wayne Huizenga, who just passed away, actually, my first boss, they drafted me fifth overall and paid me at that time in 1994 the largest signing bonus in amateur baseball draft history.
Wow.
So that was enough to take me away from college at that point. My family, my dad's a coach and a preacher. We didn't really come from, a lot of money. And I said, man, this is something that I can't pass up. Big league call-ups, big league spring training, and, a nice bonus. And I was like, I got to go play baseball. It's something I've wanted to do forever. And I had to go do it. So I went and played 4 or 5 years in the Marlins organization. You mentioned Elmira. That was my first stop in the Penn League through Kane County in A-ball, Double-A Portland, Maine, in the Eastern League, Triple-A Charlotte, and got some at-bats in 97. We won the World Series that year, so I got a ring. I was on the bench in the playoffs, which was kind of cool, and we had that was a unique opportunity for me with a bunch of superstars on that team, and we actually beat the Cleveland Indians in seven games. So that was that's something that the people, the listeners in your area would know about. But what happened was I got hurt in 98 after starting opening day, and I'll be quick, but I got hurt opening about 3 weeks into the season, and they sent me to AAA once I got off the IR. And I struggled in AAA at the very end of the year. And they said, well, we're probably going to start you in AAA again next year. And I had a brother that was a wide receiver at LSU, and he was first team, all SEC the year before. And awesome wide receiver. And I wanted to go back and play with him. I said, this is my chance to go back and play, and let's see how this thing can go. I'd love to play two sports at the same time, but you got to do one, got to do one first. I did baseball. Now I got to do football for a little bit and then maybe jump back to baseball. And I did the football for a year with him at LSU. And we had a bad year. The first year, DeNardo got fired, our head coach, and they brought in Nick Saban from Michigan State. And we were able to turn things around and got drafted later, after my second year at LSU. But it was kind of a whirlwind, that the high school baseball and football to pro football with the Marlins in between was quite a whirlwind.
What a career. I mean, that's amazing. And I was looking at that 94 draft when you were taken, and in that top 10, of course, Jared Wright was taken by the Indians that year.
Yep.
Who of course pitched in that World Series. And
my
buddy, a friend of mine who I used to work with, CJ Nitkowski, was a top 10 pick in that draft as well.
Yeah. There's a few good players. Paul Konerko, who's, of course,
Garcia Parra,
Chicago White Sox hitter, was in there. Garcia Parra, Barrett Tech, of course, Todd Walker, who was at LSU. He was my neighbor growing up, was the eighth pick overall. We had, he's from my hometown. So
had
two top 10 picks from on my same street, which is a crazy story, just in itself. But anyways, that was a fun draft. And A lot of memories. A lot of good players came out of that draft. Jay Payton, I remember. Troy Gloss, but some good players.
Yeah,
Josh, what was college like at 25 years old, having all that money?
Well, I ended up leaving about that time when I was 25, and another group of 18-year-old kids were coming in. I remember, I had been out and done so much on the in professional baseball and played, small market, big market. I'd done, gone through New York and Canada playing and everywhere and Olympic team stuff and all this stuff. And I come back to LSU, and a lot of these kids had never left the state of Louisiana to do anything. These high school kids that come in, just a lot of them come from nothing, and that's the situation. And so we got on the plane, I think, to play Auburn the third game of the season my first year, and half the guys had never, been on a plane ride. And it's a different deal when you go back to college when you're a little older. So after 2 years, I was like, you know, it's probably time for me to try to go on to the pros, and I exited LSU. But it was a fun 2 years, and I tell you what, Saban came in and made all the difference at LSU. And, of course, our offensive coordinator was Jimbo Fisher. A lot of great coaches came through LSU at that time. Defensively, we had Muschamp and Pelini. I mean, we had some really good guys that Saban brought in. He turned the whole program around.
Thank you. Remember Mel Tucker?
Oh, yeah. I know Mel.
Mel was my coach at Ohio State, but he was at LSU with you because he came to OSU in 2001.
Yeah. I know Mel. You know, he was there a little after me, but I know Mel. Yeah. Mel, pretty good. I mean, you know, Saban, what he did there with that staff and that, you know, 5-6 years that he was there, as he built up that thing to where, you know, it was sustainable. And they don't like Saban now because he moved on to Alabama down there, but he did so much for that university. He put them, you know, he put us on the map, and he really took them from, you know, probably a B-minus program to an A-plus program in the matter of 2 or 3 years, and they ended up winning a national championship. So he did a phenomenal job with the people and personnel that he put in place there. Some of them are still there today.
We're talking with Josh Booty, former MLB player, NFL player, played college ball at LSU, college football as a quarterback at LSU. Josh, did you know, I mean, was there something special about Saban when he got there that you were like, man, this guy's got something? Because, well, he's arguably the best college coach we've ever seen.
Yeah, we didn't really know. You know, the president of the NCAA was our chancellor at the time, Mark Emmert. And Mark Emmert came into the team room and said, hey, I want to make an announcement. We just hired a head football coach, and we didn't know who it was going to be. We thought it was going to be Tommy Tuberville. And who had actually come in and done a good job at Auburn and beat us a couple years before. And we weren't real sure, but that was the news on the street. And then Saban walked in, and he, not a big guy, but, you know, he seemed prepared. You know, when he walked in, he said, hey, guys, we're going to win here. You know, we're going to win fast. We're going to do things right. We're going to work smart, not only hard, but smart. And, you know, every D1 team works hard, but they don't always work smart. And I think that's what we did, is he built an unbelievable staff. He coached the coaches as hard as he did the players. And it all just kind of trickled down or dominoed down to us. And I'm telling you, it was attention to detail, like we've, you know, everyone always hears about Saban, but it was his tenacity. It was every day, all day competition. The weight room, the strength and conditioning program was just top notch. We brought Moffitt in from Miami, who had really helped them build some of their unbelievable national championship caliber teams in South Florida, who was a Louisiana guy. And, man, we just turned it up about 10 notches. And we learned how to watch film correctly. Saban, I'll tell you one good Saban story. He says he only needs 3 hours of sleep at night so he can put in 20-hour days. He goes, no one else in college football can put in 20-hour days, so I'm ahead of schedule already. So, I mean, that's the kind of guy he is. You know, he just, I'm going to outwork you, and I'm going to out-detail you, and we're going to outwork you in the off season. I'm going to outwork you in recruiting in every phase of the game, and he does.
We're talking with Josh Booty, former Browns quarterback. Josh, you know, you were here for the early Browns return. Obviously, this franchise has had pretty much nothing but failure outside of 1 year. You were here for part of that time, but it's been so much losing. And now, at least on paper, the tide has turned. And speaking of LSU, it's perfect fit, right? Odell Beckham Jr. now, Jarvis Landry. We had Les Miles on to talk about it a few weeks ago. Their relationship, and how, what do you think about the Browns right now, and specifically those two LSU great wide receivers?
Well, I love it as an offensive guy. I mean, you got to apply pressure at all times on the defense, and I think that's what this kind of allows us to do now. As a former Brown and Brown fan, I'm pulling for him big time, and I like the Baker Mayfield. He's kind of got a little bit of that it factor, and I think that's, you know, it's a huge trickle-down effect of people wanting to play. He might not be the most dangerous offensive weapon in the National Football League. Baker might not be, but just the fact that he lays it all on the line, that he plays his heart out, it's a Drew Brees type of thing where he's all in, right? He's a gym rat. He loves it. He wants just every day he's having fun. He's got a smile. He's got pep in his step. Those are the little things that matter in the big picture. And I think that's why guys want to come and play for him. And I think that's why Odell's jacked up to play with Baker Mayfield, a young up-and-coming player who's got fire under his feet, you know, and then to play with Landry and to be back together with him. I think they mix well together because you got now a guy that takes off the top of a coverage and can make plays after the catch. Like Odell, he's dynamic. And then you got a Landry who's a consummate pro. The guy's, you know, he's a perfectionist. I mean, and you put both those guys on the field at the same time, and you can do so many different things with those different types of players. You can run trick plays with Odell. You can put him in the slot. You can put Landry in the slot. You can bring him across the formation. Now you got both of them on the same side. That's dangerous because they know what they're doing, and they're real pros. And so I think it takes them to another level. And to get from 7 wins to an NFL playoff run or through a playoff run to a Super Bowl run or an AFC title run, I mean, you have got to take the necessary steps. It just doesn't happen overnight. So, you know, for them to get to where they need to get to, you know, they're going to have to make another couple of leaps, and this gives them a real viable chance to make those leaps. So I'm super excited, like you guys, I'm sure.
Everybody check out Josh on the Believe in LSU Football on the Believe Podcast Network. And it was great to talk with you, Josh. We appreciate the time, man. Thanks.
Yeah, man. Anytime. You guys have a great day.
You too.
Thanks, Josh.
Enjoy the rest of the show.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you too. Josh Booty.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.